Blog Talk Radio.
Our community have become toxic waste, and those in high places are planning to remove the toxic waste. And while we flitter and live this frivolous, foolish life, seeking pleasure from our bodies and pleasure from the bodies of others, and seeking to be famous and wealthy in this world, to be used by the power to make our people think that if you go to school and work hard, you too can be successful. That's a lie. I don't give a damn how many of you go to school and work hard. They select a few out of the mass to deceive the rest that this house is not your house. And you are going to have to think about a house of your own, because white America, listen to me good, man, cannot support you any longer. White America cannot give jobs to her millions of unemployed, much less ours. Did you hear me? Elijah Muhammad told us in the 60s we should pool our resources and get farmland, because there is no freedom without land. You remember those teachings? He said that the time of separation had come, and that we are going to have to think about building a nation of our own. You, in the 60s, you were ready to say it's nation time. You don't say that no more, because you have been deceived into thinking that inclusion into this is your salvation. This that you want to be included in has no future. None.
Greetings and assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another edition of the Time to Leave Blog Talk Radio Show. This is the show where we discuss the when, where, who, and how of separation. We already know why, and we know what we need to do. We need to claim our own, come to ourselves, and do for self. Tonight's show is a very special show that's hosted by our Self-Sufficient Task Force. The title of the show is How Believers Survive Disasters. We're admonished by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and his comment that this is a time of separation or death, to watch the weather. As you know, we've had some cataclysmic weather events that affected us here in the farm, as well as other places in the south and the southwest. Allah is definitely getting us ready for the change of times, and so that's what we're faced with. So we have several task forces of the Time to Leave movement, and the Self-Sufficient Task Force is tasked or assigned the assignment of learning and teaching and sharing with us how we can survive on our own, how we can provide our own energy, how we can protect ourselves from the weather, how we can build our own houses. This is the task, the Self-Sufficient Task Force. Before I open the mic to our two hosts for tonight's show, I would like to say that let's keep in our minds, or dedicate this particular show to our sister Mary, who transitioned a couple of days ago. She was on, she was the head of the Self-Sufficient Task Force. She was very excited about self-sufficiency and alternative energy. And she shared her excitement and her insight with us on a regular basis. And we in the Time to Leave movement, as well as the rest of our family in the Nation of Islam, will surely miss our sister. So we pray that Allah is pleased with her and that he would strengthen her husband and any other family members that she may have left behind. So right now I'm going to open the mic for Sister Sharon and also Sister Ann. Assalamu alaikum, sisters.
Wa alaikum salam, sir.
Well, I'm excited about you all's show. Sister Christina is on the line. And Sister Berdetsa, if you're out there, if you could please press 1 on your dial. And she's there. So Sister, wa alaikum salam. Sister Ann and Sister Sharon, take it away.
You first, Sister Sharon.
Oh, thank you, Sister Ann, and greetings to all family in the Blog Talk Radio audience. I am Sister Sharon Muhammad, and I am greatly surprised and happy and everything to be on with everyone to present a special guest, a dear, dear sister of mine, whom I had the pleasure of meeting for the first time several years ago. Sister Christina Muhammad has been a hardworking believer and registered member of the Nation of Islam since 1995. Sister is currently serving our nation as our student sister captain at Muhammad's Mosque number 64, and that's located in Austin, Texas, right next door to me. Her 20 years of vanguard experience, uncompromising work ethic, and her undying love for the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad has afforded her the honor and privilege of traveling with the security detail for the Most Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan for the past 6 years. Always with security in mind, our Sister Christina serves in the 10,000 fearless first responders, and she has hosted events such as the Southwest Regional Survival Retreat, and that's actually where I first met my sister. I attended a very early on annual of that retreat in Austin, Texas. And I'm telling you, when I met Sister Christina, I met a fiery Sister Soldier who hasn't stopped since. Sister is a loving wife of Brother Reginald Muhammad and a proud mother of 3 children, beautiful children, 2 of which Sister has selfishly adopted. Praise be to Allah. Her devotion to her family, nation, and community brings her much happiness and blessings. And I just am so excited to have our sister with us. Sister Christina, are you with us?
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, sister.
Alhamdulillah. Yes, ma'am. Good to hear your wonderful voice, sis.
It's always good to hear yours, ma'am.
Oh,
yes, ma'am. Wonderful. We certainly have a lineup today, and we want to talk about how we can survive many of the tragic weather conditions we have come through, and particularly the believers in the cities. Now, I know you're located in Austin, Texas, and I don't believe that powerful Hurricane Harvey touched down there in Austin, but it did touch near you. Would you mind expounding on that for us?
Absolutely, sis. You know, we talk about Hurricane Harvey. Hurricane Harvey was powerful, sis. When that actually took place, I was in Atlanta for the Family Summit. And for those of you that know, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan had come to Atlanta that particular year when Hurricane Harvey had struck. And the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan was supposed to be in Houston, Texas. And he was supposed to be delivering his lecture there in Houston, Texas, that particular reason. But Allah would not allow that to take place. And as soon as, the very interesting part about that, we were doing a training, dear sister, in Atlanta, and we had used the scenario that bad weather had just come in and just hit Atlanta. We cannot move anywhere, you know, just stay in the building. And we were working on our training. And as we were working on our training, Allah was setting that up for Hurricane Harvey to hit. All praises due to Allah. With less being said, the minister was safe. The minister delivered his lecture of love. We hit back on the road to hit back to Texas. And unfortunately, we had to hit through Houston. We didn't know how hard the Hurricane Harvey was hitting at the time, but we hit through Houston. We got to Houston coming from Atlanta, and we were sanctioned to not travel those roads because waters were flooded. The roads were absolutely flooded. We took a whole nother way. We went around Houston, not back home, and that's how we had noted that Houston Hurricane Harvey had hit, and it hit very hard. So not saying that Austin, Texas got a lot of water and got a lot of flooding, but we had a lot of people coming in that had survived that flood of Hurricane Harvey, and it was very, very massive, sis. So, yes, absolutely, we got to talk about this stuff. We got to talk about this divine destruction that's in hand of America, and we got to talk about all this destructive weather that has taken place and that is yet to come in the future.
Wow. Thank you, ma'am. Also, too, I noted that you are with the 10,000 Fearless. Can you tell the audience what that actually is? That is a calling for all men and women, but please give us some detail.
Absolutely. All praises due to Allah. Well, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, when we were talking about Justice or Else, the anniversary of the Million Man March, the minister set up and said he needed 10,000 men and women, 10,000 fearless men and women. And he didn't just say to do just this. He said, I need 10,000 fearless men and women. We took it upon ourselves. We were doing CERT training and CPR training, so we took it upon ourselves to say we need a disaster preparedness team. So out of all that training that my husband and I had been doing, we went ahead and started gathering more training, and we went out and started teaching people how to survive, what kind of survival kits that you have in your home. How do we survive when a Hurricane Harvey or whatever hurricane or tropical storm or any other disaster hit? We started going out and teaching and training the community as well as the believers on how to be prepared, because that's something that we are not used of, is being prepared. And that's what the team is. The team, we do several different departments. We have in our department, we study communication, which we have a communication specialist right now that we're working on our communication system. Sister, if you notice, this phone situation is not working very long. My phone hangs up probably every day. I don't have a good connection all the time. And, you know, if you notice and remember back at the Holy Day of Atonement, when we went to D.C., they shut down our phone lines. We've got to understand that these phone lines can be shut down at any point. So we started our own 10,000 Fearless, our communication portion, in dealing with that, because we're learning and teaching our community, our nation, how to have an alternative communication system. So we're working on the ham radio. We have a horticulture section where we're working on how to eat to live and how to grow your own food. Because if we looked at Hurricane Harvey and we looked at just the water shortage that we have, or any big disaster or small disaster, anytime you go to your store, your grocery store, your food section, your water section, the aisles get bare, the shelves get bare. So we're talking about, we're teaching people how to actually grow your own food in the time of disaster, but you got to grow the stuff before the disaster. Or even if you didn't get a chance to, if you eat it all, then there's some time and some things that you can do to grow your food within a certain amount of time. We teach that. I mean, we teach search and rescue when we deal with this Amber Alert. I don't know about you all, but every day it seems like on my phone I get a ding, 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 and I look at my phone and they're saying Amber Alert, a child is missing. Well, I don't know about you and what you know about search and rescue, but I have an engram, sis, right now with milk cartons, because I had gotten so tired of seeing these young babies on these milk cartons that saying that they had been missing for a long time. And then at a point of time within 24 hours, you know, you got to start looking at the real situation. Is that baby alive or is that baby dead? Well, whenever we started learning about search and rescue, what we had realized with that in our dealings, that even when a mother goes out and she says, my child is missing, you still have within 24 hours before you can get some actual boots on the ground and start looking for that child. Because they want to make sure your child is not just chilling or ran away with their friends. Every second count. So we put together a search and rescue team, and we're teaching and training across the nation. So whenever Miss Early or Miss Isles call us from down the street and say, my baby's missing, we got to establish some boots on the ground, and we got to learn how to go out and search and rescue and find those babies quickly, because every minute does count. We have our own disaster recovery. One thing that I've learned, sister, about Hurricane Harvey, which was very interesting, is when we went down there, even when we put the teams down there, after the flood had already hit, water was so high that it covered these homes. One thing that I realized is everybody started throwing their trash and putting it outside in the front of their homes, which sets up mold. And I had one of my because one of the first responders went there, and she had really bad allergies, and it took her out within minutes. So just imagine those people that are still living there, those people that are living in the community. We've got to do better about just taking trash out and leaving that trash in a community for days and months and times, because what it's doing is killing our people. So we started our own disaster and recovery. I mean, you name it. There's so many different things that we have when it comes to survival. So when you say the 10,000 fearless first responders, we have our CPR training now. We're teaching our people how to administer CPR, whether you get certified or not. We truly believe that if you are a parent and you don't know CPR, you may need to think about your rights as a parent. What do you think about if CPS should be called? Because if something happens to your child and your child falls down and their heart stops and you as mother, you as father cannot start that heart, revive that child again, something's wrong when there's training to be assessed. So we start teaching and training with CPR. And we just start teaching and training as much that we possibly can when it comes down to survival. How can we survive big or small disasters? 10,000 fearless first responders, that is exactly what we do in our nation to help our people prepare for that great and dreadful day that is at hand.
Wonderful, my sister. Wonderful. Thank you for that.
Yes, and Sister Sharon, if we could go ahead and introduce our other panelists, not that she'll want to go ahead and give all of her presentation now, but I do want to let the audience know who else we have tonight and what she will be talking about. So can we do that right now?
Oh, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you so very much, Sister Christina.
Yes,
okay.
Absolutely.
Yes, we also have from this area of the country, the South here, Georgia, Alabama area, we have Sister Podesta. And Sister Podesta is a farmer. She has a farm. The name of her farm is Echo Blue. And I didn't get all of the background information that you have for Sister Christina. So I'm going to let Sister Podesta tell us exactly what it is she does. Her farm is, as I said, named Echo Blue. Tell us about how many acres you have and your crops, and then you can go into whatever else you want to tell us, and then I'll let Sister Sharon direct me on how she wants to proceed.
Yes, ma'am, absolutely. As-salamu alaykum, everyone. Thank you so much for inviting me to say a few words by the grace and mercy of Allah. I call myself a new believer still. And, you know, I've only been in the nation 5 years. But what I did learn at my very first Savior's Day in 2013 on Row G, Seat 15,
I listened to the minister talk about the economic blueprint in detail, and I really got it. And so I had an epiphany that when I start a new business or when I get a farm, it's going to be called Eco Blue. So I would say fast forward to 2015, finding myself single and in the southern region and striving to learn from others, and then meeting Sister Ann, Dr. Ridgely, and the believers down in Albany, Georgia. I met Sister Willie and Brother Aaron, who had a farm. It's like, you know, Allah kept sending me people who were doing what I wanted to do. And so in 2015, I did have the honor of going to Sister Betsy Jean's event for the agricultural boot camp. And I took that very seriously, and it really moved me. And the minister said was, what you take from here, sit on it, take it, apply it, and just go spread it out. It doesn't matter if you have a farm or yard or a window field. So I was like, okay, I didn't have my farm, and I was sitting next to Sister Willie, and I kept saying, I'm going to get me a farm, I'm going to get me a farm. So I just kept talking about that farm from 2013 to 2015, and a week after I came back from that trip, my realtor called me. Well, she texted me like 2 o'clock in the morning, like 5 days later. I was so like, knew that was the farm because I'd looked at several properties and it just didn't sing to me. And so that's how Eco Blue Farm came into my life. And I saw that as part of my survival. This farm is 15 acres. It's a sustainable farm because the law knew I knew nothing about farming. Absolutely nothing. So I thought all farms had to have animals. So I was willing to make the sacrifice, even though I was a traveling sister as well. But Allah blessed me to have a sustainable farm where I have something growing all year round. Starting in the early part of the year, I have my blueberries. And then that transitions into pear season. And then that transitions into my muscadine vineyard. I actually have a small vineyard on these 15 acres. And then, of course, there's pecan season, which I don't eat pecans, but my customers love them. So it's like whoever owned this farm before, she has so many plants out here that are actually medicine. When I have people visiting, they're like, oh, yeah, my grandma used to do this with that. That is so much to learn. So Allah has basically put me in science on this farm. And so I'm just learning how to garden. I'm in my third year of doing back to Eden gardening, and somehow or another, you know, I had to travel a lot because you got to pay for the land, and so Allah has blessed me with a project so that I'm working remote. So I wanted horses, even though I don't know anything about horses other than I love them. So I was able to pool my resources with some of my customers, and now I have 3 horses on my farm. I also, you know, Allah sent me help, you know, as a single sister. I can't do it all, but I knew this was the vision and the path that he set me on. So I also have a working relationship with the Yahweh community as well. You know, Sister Joyce and Brother Kenny, you know, they have a brother. He's lost family. He's a Muslim. And so he helps me on the farm. I'm learning how to grow. And so we barter, we pool our resources. And so all of that leading in to the topic of this conversation, which is survival. But that's just a brief introductory to me. If there's any sisters on the line, I'm the one that's always on the command center with Sister Belinda and Sister Latrella. I'm always on command center for Savior's Day. So that's my story. Yes, ma'am.
Crazy.
Okay.
Oh, a lot. Field trip.
Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. Wow.
Right.
Crazy people.
Right.
Can you give me the correct spelling of your name?
Are you talking
to Podesta?
Yes, it's the Podesta. Oh,
Podesta.
It's P. Yes, ma'am. It's P as in Paul, E, D as in Daniel, E, T, S, A.
Thank you so much.
Yes, ma'am.
What a wonderful introduction. Thank you.
You're most welcome.
Yes, great. Okay, well, I think what we want to know now is, because I saw several posts on Facebook that Sister Podesta
put up during the storm and after the storm. So right now, I think what we would like to do is let the listening audience know some of the techniques they can do personally to make sure they are safe and secure and have what they need. So however, who you want to go first, Sister Sharon, Sister Christina, or Sister Podesta, it's up to you now.
I'll hail to my sister. Go ahead, Sister Podesta. I'm trying to get to your
point. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. So what I will offer is, you know, just learning what I need to do to survive. Well, growing up, my mother always had peanut butter and jelly and bread and dry milk. So we never went hungry for no storm. So, but that's not how we eat, but that's what I knew. So coming in the nation, you know, learning that, I knew that I need to be up on my game. Being on this farm in the middle of 15 acres, I actually feel pretty buffered because I'm in the middle of 15 acres. I praise be to Allah, my land is made in such a way I don't experience flooding. However, I still prepare for everything. You know, I know what I need to do. The first thing I knew as an MGT is get myself in that class. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan told us to get in that canning class. Well, I had already been teaching myself canning when I bought the farm. Being in that class just sort of turned me into a scientist. That's what we're supposed to be becoming. And so
yes.
I was trying to be a mini Sister Ann, because Sister Ann, she's a scientist. You know, and I said, well, you know what? I'm going to do this. And Sister Ann, I'm always looking at your posts as well. So I just sort of took that extra knowledge and took my passion for canning and turned that into more scientific recipes. I make all my own custom recipes. I did not know anything about canning, but since I'm on a farm with pears and blueberries and muscadines, I had to make really good use of that. But then also canning the beans. You know, we order the beans, but you can't eat dry beans. So I learned how to turn those into sprouts to either go in my garden or on my plate. I mean, I've learned, you know, I sort of shared the fact that you've got your water. You can sprout some beans. You can sprout some dry beans in some days, and you're going to be eating. There's a lot of things that I learned about that. But then I thought, you know, me being by myself out here on this farm, what am I going to do if the lights go out? I've never experienced this type of darkness before. When the lights go out, there is nothing out there. And so what I learned was in 2015 when I was working in Atlanta, I had reached out to Brother Ralph Muhammad. He actually may be on the call, but he's working. He works for Duke Energy in Charlotte, North Carolina. So he's working, but he also does for self. So he actually does the PowerX generators. So Sister Willie and Brother Aaron, who have a farm in Dawson, Bronwood area, they told me about it. And I was like, well, I had already seen it at a boot camp in Noonan, Georgia in 2013. So I was like, oh, yeah, well, now that I have this farm, I need to get one of those. So I reached out to Brother Ralph. And I'm telling you, everybody, don't look at the price tag on his website. I didn't have thousands of dollars all at one time to get the 10,000 unit I want. I wanted the 10,000 watt unit. I'm an overachiever. But I figure I'm on a big farm, you know, big to me, and I wanted something more than what I need because you never know who else you may need to help. So I got on a payment plan with him. There's no excuse not to have alternative power. We have a brother who makes his own solar unit. There's no excuse. So I ended up getting on a payment plan. You know, I think I broke it up into four payments, and once I got to like 50%, he began to build it, and he delivered it. And a matter of fact, it was on display at Holy Day of Atonement when we had it in Atlanta. So, you know, I was standing there, that's mine. You know, I was so proud to be getting my generator. And so during the storms, I
honestly, I'm not showing off. And I felt sort of guilty for a little teeny minute, like, you know, I'm posting, I got likes, I'm good, you know. I wasn't bragging. I was just thinking Allah that, we're taught in the Quran that Allah says, you know, spend out of what we blessed you with. Well, I had the money that I could spend, and so I bought that as my alternative source of power. I may not want to eat, you know, on a campfire. I don't have to now. But, you know, that's just, it's like, you know, it's part of the Bible, but you never know what you need to have that electricity for. So I've been able to use my PowerX generator. Also with the water, Brother Ralph, a very good water. I've been buying his water ever since I was actually on a contract in Columbia, South Carolina. So I sort of saw him grow that company. So I keep that H2 Omega water. Now here I started thinking about this as survival. I've got power. I've got good water. And it's from a believer. I'm like, what more could we be doing other than pooling together for our survival? It's not my survival. I started thinking about it as our survival. So
that's
the other
right.
thing I started thinking about is, you know, when we fast, we better get back in practice. When we fast those 3 days for the unity fast, I know I'm drinking coffee. So I started thinking, my survival kit is not going to be good without my coffee. I mean, this sounds not important to some people, but it's important to have that coffee because I'm going to have to fast on the dime right now when this storm comes through and something happens. So I actually started buying coffee through the staple goods with the Mexidus, but, you know, that's only twice a year, and honestly, I keep a case. I'm never without a case. I'll feel really naked without a case. That's how serious I am. But then I started buying coffee from Brother Richard Muhammad, who goes to the mosque in Houston, Texas. And that coffee is really good. So I'm like, okay, this is good. It gets me through my fast. Why wouldn't it get me through a survival period? And so I started thinking about what else can go in my survival kit as far as quick food. And so then I found out there was another believer in Houston, Texas, Brother Albert 4X. He makes Malhai Munchies. Those are energy foods. He makes them himself. And then I was like, wow, Houston sort of got it going on. Then there's Sister Denise, and she's got her oils that you want to have some good medicinal oils in your survival kit. I remember one Ramadan, I really cut off the tip of my finger trying to prepare food for the Isbies. And because of the oil, I was able to put that lavender, a couple of drops of lavender. It stopped the bleeding, like, within seconds. And then I put the clove oil. It stopped the pain. And so I just sort of mended my finger, put it together a little bit. I was so, like, disappointed. I was like, but, you know, because of our diet in Sholoh, you can't even tell which finger got cut. I didn't have to have any stitches. So I thought about in a storm, in a survival, you know, what if you got cut? What if, like here on the woods, you know, I get sliced by something trying to do something, you do things in a rush, you got all this energy, and next thing you know, you cut yourself. What are you going to do? So I keep lavender oil. I keep clove oil. I mean, I learned a lesson there. And it's antiseptic as well, and you're not going to bleed out if you've got that lavender oil. So I just started thinking about everything that we can do to pull together. It's like everything I'm doing in my house, I try to make it a believer, black-owned business. And when I started thinking about that, I said, you know, how to eat to live, we need to garden. So, you know, I started doing the Back to Eden gardening. And for about 2 years, I was like, okay, I'm feeding myself. I'm pretty good. You know, I'm home. I'm not dead. I'm not starving. I'm doing good. So this year I did, you know, sort of get the courage to start a gardening club for, you know, believers. It's, you know, called Friends of Eco Blue Gardens Gods. And I only wanted to reach out to people who do not plant or have, you know, they're not professionals. Neither am I. And if the group has grown to where we're learning how to grow how to eat to live items. I mean, I didn't know that you can sprout maize beans and put them in the garden or eat them. I didn't know you could do that with lentils. It's just a lot of things. So coming fast forward to this recent storm, you know, Albany looks like a bomb hit it all up and down that highway. My mouth was open the whole time, and I just refused to sit in this house while they're there with no power, and I'm an hour and a half away because I choose to drive to Albany to, you know, be with my believers there. And so that Sunday, you know, by the grace and mercy of Allah, they were allowed to watch the Holy Day of Atonement program in the lobby of a hotel because nobody had power. There's still people in Albany that don't have power from Hurricane Michael. I'm just like, that's a long time. And so I couldn't even believe it. So I went to my garden. I made fresh salad. See, salad is not something that you have to have in the refrigerator. Grow your salad. Salad will regrow itself 3 or 4 times. You can take a seed. I've done it. I feel amazed whenever I take pictures and post on Facebook. I'm like, look, my salad, my lettuce, because I'm still a baby at this. I get excited over everything. But I was able to use all of my salad. I put together a big, giant salad to bring to the believers there because, you know, they've been sort of no power, no nothing, no water except for the water that I pray we've been saving. And so we were able to have fresh salad, and I was able to use my water to make fresh lemonade with our turbo model sugar. I make my own dressing, all of that from gardening. And here's another tip that I learned that is actually a project that me and my garden group are doing right now. You can get a bag of dirt, good soil, just cut a hole in that bag of dirt and sprinkle some salad seeds in there, and you're going to have microgreens 10 to 12 days. So think about if you don't have power that long. You don't have to worry about, well, I can't have salad because it's going to go bad in the refrigerator. Who needs a refrigerator? Just put it in the dirt and let it sprout, and you'll have a microgreen salad. No need to go hungry if we are learning how to do these things.
Right. Sister, oh, my sister, this is a blessing. And we pray to Allah that He continues to bless you with your vision. You know, you had this vision back in 2013, and you've been working it. So that is a blessing. Thank you for sharing all of that wisdom with us.
Absolutely. Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. If you don't mind, Sister Ann, I just wanted to give recognition to the believers that I'm learning from and pooling with as far as our resources for the Bible. We do have Brother Richard. He's online. I think Brother Albert is online. I'm not sure. I think Sister Denise is online. And I just want to thank them all for doing for self, because I think time to separate, time to leave, and survival. It's all of us together. And so all of those people that are doing, I'm trying to attract their energy to me.
That's right. Well, sister, it sounds like we would want to extend another time for you to come and share your ideas and experiences with us. Would you mind if we invited you again?
Absolutely.
Wonderful.
I'll bring the crew.
Yes, ma'am. All right. Sister Christina.
Yes, ma'am. Oh, praise be to Allah. Beautiful. That was absolutely beautiful. Yes, ma'am.
Right. So do we want to see, Sister Sharon, if there are any callers who want to ask any questions of either of the panelists?
Yes, we do. The time is coming to an end, and we do want to get callers in if they have questions. So,
yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
All
we're
right,
down
sir.
To the last 20 minutes. Callers, you've heard two, you've heard one, and you're about to hear our second dynamic guest. If you have a question or you want to get in the queue, please press 1 now, and you will be the first one in the queue to ask a question. So as it stands right now, we're still waiting for you, callers, so please press that 1. Go ahead, Sharon, because we're still waiting for them to press the 1. They're a little shy.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Well, I want to bring back Sister Christina, and please, Sister Christina,
take that back.
Share
yes,
more.
Ma'am. As soon as, we got two people in the queue.
Yes, sir. Bring our callers on, please.
Okay. Caller with the last four digits, 8804. What is your name and where are you calling from?
Assalamu alaikum. This is Sister Andrea, and I am in Eolia, Missouri, and this is so exciting. A lot of information, but it's so exciting. Thank you, Sister, so much. My question is, you mentioned, You mentioned a brother that has water, and you mentioned a brother who builds generators. Can you all share that information?
Go ahead, Sister Podesta. And okay, what we will also do, if you will get that information to us, we will post that on Time
Absolutely.
To Leave. But you can go ahead and give it now. Is that right, Brother Carl?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Actually, I'm looking it
okay.
up right now.
Okay. Well, his name is Brother Ralph Muhammad, R-A-L-P-H, and his website is Power X Generators, plural, powerxgenerators@gmail.com, and he's actually based in Charlotte, North Carolina. And I've done some project management work for him, and he's sold to a lot of believers. He actually, you know, listening to his story, he got his vision to, you know, sort of expand out to more believers when he was, you know, assisting and working with Mother Tanetta. So listening to his story and him taking the vision that she had for his company really inspired me to support him. And honestly, working with him, as a project manager, you know, for a short time, you're not going to be able to beat his price. You're going to see something cheaper. You're not even going to get a chance of what he's going to put in that unit for you. Item that he has is a really good water. It's from a natural spring in Charlotte, North Carolina. And that website is H2OmegaWater. That's the same brother Ralph. And the website for his water is H2OmegaWater.com. And again, for you MGTs, if you've been in the relief room on Saturday, big up to Brother Ralph because he has been donating and I've been helping him get sponsors to make sure that we have this water in our MGT relief room at Savior's Day on Sunday because I was looking at that water that they did have. I was like, I don't drink that. I'm bougie about my water. So, I started talking to Brother Ralph. I said, we need your water up in there. I can't be drinking my Walmart water. So that we've been drinking that water, oh, my goodness, now to the past two Saviors Day. And his water actually launched for those of you that went by his PowerX generator vending site at the Holy Day of Atonement in Atlanta. That's when he launched his water. It didn't have a label then, and he was just launching his water, and everybody was getting free water then, if anybody remembers getting that from him. But those are his two websites that he has, sister.
Okay. Thank you for your question. Thank you for your question, Sister Andrea. And we have one more caller. Caller with the last four digits, 8156. What is your name, and where are you calling from?
This is Brother Albert 4X from Houston, Texas, the Mile High Munchie Man. Can you hear me? I first want to thank you for allowing me to be here with this program because it's absolutely amazing what I'm hearing. Because when it comes to survival, I was actually born and raised in Denver, Colorado. And to be ready for a blizzard, you have to always be ready. To have things in the trunk of your car, and just overnight you can be snowed in while you sleep. So you have to have heat, you have to have a lot of things. And fortunately with blizzards, you don't get a lot of power outages. But when I moved to Houston, I had never seen so much water. And to be able to go through Harvey, Allison, and then no power goes out, well, as Sister Podesta mentioned about the solar. Well, what I've asked people in the neighborhood to do, instead of putting those solar lights in your yard, have a few in your home. Because when your lights go out, at least you have something that's going to be available for you to light up the inside. And sometimes you can even get them at dollar stores. You don't need to get the high power ones. You might, it just depends on how big your home is and how much light you need. But it's just amazing to hear some of the things I'm hearing as far as the 10,000 Fearless Preparation and the CPR class. It's just absolutely wonderful to know that we have in our nation people that are, let's say, striving for separation in such a way that it's just amazing. I appreciate it, and I also appreciate Sister Podesta for putting my product out there on the program with the survival kit, because certain things you have to have, and my product has seeds that have the energy and the health benefits with them. So that's one of the things that, you know, as a seed can be kept in an airtight container, it can last from 3 to 6 months. So that's another way to have some things. But then I heard her talking about the bean sprouts. Now, once again, you can take your navy bean and turn it into a flour. And you keep it as a flour in your refrigerator, but once it's not even in the refrigerator, you still can't keep it at a room temperature. And as long as you have that omega water that she mentioned, the H2 omega water, you can make a light soup or you can even drink it. So it's always a way to be resourceful, to be able to survive. And we're being taught to be who we are with our mind, to be survivors. So, but anyhow, I'm not going to keep going because sometimes I get long-winded because I'm an older person. But I appreciate being on the program this morning. Sister Podesta, I thank you.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Brother Albert. And no, sir, you're not old. You're just knowledgeable, so we welcome that.
Okay,
right.
Yes, ma'am. I know better. Okay. I've just been here a little longer than some other people, that's all. But it's been a pleasure to listen to this, and I'm going to try and make sure I get on the call when Sister Podesta lets me know the next time it comes in, so we can. I got to get to her about that water thing because I need some of that out here in Houston, Texas.
Absolutely,
yes, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Albert. And we're down to the last 12 minutes. And if there's any more callers that may have questions or comments, you still have time to ask a question or make a comment. But as of now, there are none in the queue. So, sisters, go ahead.
So, Sharon, I think you were going to bring back.
Yes, bring back our sister Soldier. I really call this sister Soldier. I mean, when I just, she's busy. I mean, all just so busy and most effective in our Southwest region. So I'm looking forward to seeing her. Sister Christina?
Yes, ma'am. Praise be to Allah. Thank you so much. I just want to say a couple of closing words when we're talking about training. And I wanted us to realize and remember, it's great when we talk about those survival kits and those things that we have, the food and the water, that's great amongst us. But something that always sticks with me from the mouth of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and I'm paraphrasing what he said that how can you tell a mother or a father not to go out and steal or even kill if his child is hungry? And if he had not done preparation to go in to make sure he has what he needs in his household, so any disasters that take place, we can survive, we can train ourselves. But it's very, very important. Once we get ourselves together, we must go out and teach and train our people, because you can't tell a man that he can't have that or he's not going to take what you have. All disasters, we got to remember, we may not be at home when there's a disaster hit. You may be on foot, and you may be in your vehicle. So we have to look at all of the different situations and things, how it may happen. Some of the believers had to remove and flee from their homes. This is important. We can at home. But when you leave on your back, what you have on your back is what you're going to be able to have. And remember, survival, the minister said, is the lowest form of existence. What I'm finding as a disaster preparedness trainer is that our people, survival is an engrammic word to black people, black and brown. Why? Because all of our life we have just been surviving. If that's the lowest form of existence, so when we try to teach this stuff, push this stuff, survive, spark up in your home, these things are the last things that's done. And if that was not the case, then we wouldn't have to worry about all the shelves being empty during a time of disasters. Why? Because people have what they need. So this is where the 10,000 fearless come in. Right now we're working with churches. We're teaching churches. We're teaching mosques. We're teaching our community. I'm saying this, believers, once you got the idea of how you can survive, do the best you can to turn around and teach and train that community, because there's nothing stopping them from coming in and busting into your home. You must learn to have self-defense. So then if somebody does come in, like the minister said, you teach a child how to defend themselves. Disaster preparedness, it's a 360 degree. That means it's so many different things that we got to think about when disaster preparedness is in place, because we have to prepare. So thank you all so much for having me on. I pray, inshallah, again, we're able to come in and get a little bit deeper in depth into disaster preparedness. But I think where we left off today was absolutely great. So, Teresa, I would love to bring the team down there to come see you at your farm. When I say field
absolutely.
Trip, I mean field trip. So praise be to Allah.
Praise be to Allah.
Yes, ma'am.
And we have a caller. Caller with the last four digits, 2547. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Sister Katina Muhammad, calling from Dallas, Texas. Assalamu alaikum, family. Sister Christina, first of all, Sister Podesta, excellent, wonderful. You got to let me come down there when Sister Christina brings the team, because, like, I'm going to be rocking.
Welcome.
Oh, yeah, all praises due to Allah. That's just, like, I'm amazed by what I'm hearing, especially when you said you were thinking also once you got yourself to a certain level, you started thinking in terms of the collective, and I think that's important. So thank you for saying that part. Sister Christina, I got a question for you.
Yes, ma'am.
You said that survival is an engrammic word to our people, which is so true. So based on that, what are some of the mental phenomena that you've had to encounter being a first responder, and how did you and your team handle that?
Absolutely. Wonderful question, sister. Absolutely. Shock. Shock is an ever revolving thing. And the first thing when you go into a disaster, the first thing you will see is shock. Shock is equal to death. If you do not get shock and maintain shock, death is right at hand. What we do with in my disaster psychology section when I teach CERT training, I implement CERT training and I implement Dianetics. Injury and illnesses and assist locational. So you cannot go in and tell somebody to calm down when they're screaming, they lost everything, they can't find their child. You better learn some skills. I need you to look over here. Thank you, ma'am. Look over here. Thank you, ma'am. You've got to be able to bring our people down, because shock is really important. We don't understand that if you're shocked, they said shock is a grievous thing. And that's in disaster preparedness, too. So we utilize that, and we teach and train all of our first responders. They have to be certified in that aspect of Dianetics. So you have to learn how to bring somebody and calm somebody down out of that shock state so you can deal wisely with them.
Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing and necessary. As an auditor myself, I encounter that. I've been doing, I don't know, the hour, the time that we're in, and the disasters. Texas is a place where people come to seek refuge. And so I've gotten in many more pre-clear or people to audit that I've ever, you know, really had. And, yeah, you're absolutely right. I was just wondering about that. Thank you for answering that, because, you know, that trauma – you know, and it just really sticks a person in their mind in a particular way. And there's a actual scientific method to help a person come out of that. So thank you for that. Yeah, we're seeing more and more of that. So thank you for that explanation.
Praise be to Allah.
Thank you.
All praises. I'll be down to Dallas this weekend giving a survival class training during when Grandmaster Anthony will be down there. So inshallah, I'll see you down there and we'll get ready to train some more.
Yes, ma'am. Inshallah.
Inshallah.
Okay. Thank you, Sister Katina. And we have a couple other people who want to squeeze in the last one. We're going to let one more person come in. Caller with the last four digits, 2410. Quick question. What's your name? Where are you coming from? Real brief.
This is Brother Cornelius, just calling from Cleveland, Ohio. I just wanted to say I love the show. I love the information that you're sharing with us. It's so very helpful. And we're all, as believers, are working towards the one goal, and that is to build our black nation. So I'm just ready for it. Thank you so very much for having this broadcast. You've been a true inspiration and a true guiding light for some of us. Thank you very much. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum
salam.
Thank you, Brother Cornelius. And we have one more caller that we can, I think we can squeeze in. Caller with the last four digits, 7897. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Assalamu alaikum. I'm Sister Marshada, and I'm calling from Albany, Georgia. I'm actually a new MGT, and I attend the Albany Study Group. I just wanted to just say that it's very inspirational, this information that you all are sharing. And Sister Perdetsa's story really touched me and has inspired me to actually start growing my own food, as well as Sister Ann and Dr. Wrigley. You guys are very inspirational people. And I just wanted to say this information is very important for our separation and the growth of our nation. And I just appreciate being on this line and getting all of this good information.
Sister, we appreciate you, Sister Mashida, and welcome to your journey and your name.
Thank you all so much.
That's right.
Yes, ma'am.
But thank you very much for your call, Sister. And we're down to the last 2 minutes, so if you all want to make any closing comments, now's the time.
I just want to thank our guests. They were absolutely wonderful. And Brother Carlton, before we close out, now next week's program, we'll be doing sort of a roundtable discussion of tonight.
No, ma'am. Next week, we have scheduled is on the mathematics of movement. The physical relocation task force is interviewing Dr. Ridgely.
All right. Well, that's all I wanted to say is thank you very much to Sister Christina and Sister Podesta.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you, ma'am.
For the invite. I'll praise you to Allah.
Okay, yes, Sister Sharon, close us out.
Oh, yes, ma'am. Wonderful program tonight. And I just wanted to thank Sister Christina and cannot wait to see her. I will not let her come into my city and not greet her.
Thank you,
Allah. Yes, ma'am, because she is a part of calling men and women to that wonderful 10,000 fearless that our minister wants us to be involved with. That's making our community a safe and decent place to live and for our survival. Thank you all.
Thank
May Allah continue to bless us.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you, Sister Sharon. And please remember to tune in next week, everyone. The next week's show is The Mathematics of Movement, hosted by the Physical Relocation Task Force. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Won't you let me? Won't you help me? Won't you help me understand you?
Lord, I've really been real strong. Razadon and Baba, they went down to Peace Street. Headliner, I challenge you to a game of horseshoes. A game of horseshoes!
Now I